The original language of Michigan is dying. Anishinaabe Mohen was the language of the Great Lakes for millennia, spoken by a family of tribes known as the Anishinaabek. Michigan Radio's Emily Fox reports on how Native American boarding schools took the language away from generations of Native American families. Marcella Keller is a member of the Little Traverse Bay Band of Odawa Indians. She was raised traditionally by her parents, who knew how to fish, gather, live off the land, and turn wild plants into medicine.
Used to be all Indians. All Indians lived down through here. I'd say 9 families that lived on, mostly on this side of the road.
We're driving through Cross Village. Keller has lived here her whole life, almost 80 years. It's about 20 miles south of the Mackinac Bridge and sits on a bluff overlooking Lake Michigan.
Just a beautiful, beautiful place, you know, where the Indians lived up in here. Everybody spoke, you know, well, I spoke Lay. I was one of the fluent speakers.
Keller is only one of an estimated 3 people in the area with the Little Traverse Bay Band that are still fluent in Anishinaabe Mohen, and those numbers are dropping. Keller says she used to have some people she could talk to in her native language, but
all the Indians that spoke it are dying off. They never taught it to their kids.
One of the biggest reasons why they didn't teach it was because of Native American boarding schools. 20 miles south of Cross Village is Harbor Springs. In the summer, the harbor is filled with yachts, and downtown is marked with boutique shops. At the end of Main Street stands a church, and that church led one of the longest-running Native American boarding schools in the nation. It was called Holy Childhood. Eric Hemingway is the director of archives and records for the Little Traverse Bay Band. He says the Odawa actually helped build the mission school in 1829. He says back then,
lessons were taught in Anishinaabe Mohen, our native language. The kids were encouraged to speak Anishinaabe Mohen.
But fast forward 60 years, and things at Holy Childhood looked a lot different. Around the late 1880s, the federal government stepped in to control Native American education. They created assimilation policies that looked to wipe out Native languages and culture, and that effort continued for decades.
When we were in the school, I said we were actually completely forbidden to speak the language, and if we were caught, I said punishment was swift and it was severe.
Delita Gasco-Smith works for the Little Traverse Bay Band. She attended Holy Childhood for 3 years of elementary school. Her father was fluent in Anishinaabe Mohen, but he was careful not to teach his daughter the language. Gasco-Smith says her dad went to the same boarding school and knew she would be beaten for speaking Anishinaabe Mohen.
And that's how we almost lost our language, is because they quit speaking it. They wouldn't allow us to speak it either because they knew that we had to go there and what would happen if we, you know, if we spoke the language when we were there. So
from the 1880s through the 1920s, Native American children in the U.S. were often forced to leave their families and attend boarding schools. Some, like Holy Childhood, were run by the Catholic Church. Others were run by the government, like a school in Mount Pleasant that operated until the mid-1930s. Either way, the mission under assimilation was the same.
They wanted to take the Indian out of the Indian.
Sister Susan Gardner is with the Diocese of Gaylord.
The overall mission of the boarding school was to enculturate the Native Americans into the American culture. They didn't want them to have anything as far as their Native American spirituality, language, customs, anything.
Assimilation mandates faded around 1930, but Holy Childhood still operated for another 50 years and continued to punish students who spoke their native language. Physical and emotional abuse was common. Yvonne Kishik is a member of the Little Traverse Bay Band and went to Holy Childhood for 8 years. She says there was a racial element to the abuse from the nuns.
So they showed preference, a direct preference, to lighter-complected kids.
Those kids got special treatment and didn't get beaten.
The darker you were, the worse you were treated.
Kishik says she was beaten almost every single day. If she got a math problem wrong, the nun would grab her by the head and use her face to erase the math problems on the chalkboard.
I have less hair on this side of my head because the nun was right-handed. So she would reach out and grab me on the left side of my head, you know, and drag me around, and then use my face and head as the dust eraser.
And in the 1960s and early 70s, there was sexual abuse happening at Holy Childhood. Fred Kiyogama is a member of the Little Traverse Bay Band.
I mean, you could hear the beatings going on. You could hear other things going on in that room. That, as a child, first grade through eighth grade, you had no right in society to hear those things going on in the other side of the room or in the next bed over.
Kiyogama boarded at Holy Childhood when a nun at the school was sexually abusing some of the boys.
It's like the nuns had their certain key people that they would pick out. Those were the ones that everybody in the, you know, the boys group on our side of the house, we knew who was either having sex with that nun or was making out with her or doing whatever, because they got the best treatment. They got the best clothes. They got the more food. They got longer TV hours. They didn't get beat.
So what does the church have to say about this?
Their stories don't surprise me because I've heard them for so long. And as a member of the church, I feel sorry.
Sister Susan Gardner is the director of the Native American Apostolate for the Diocese of Gaylord and previously worked with First Nations tribes in Canada.
I feel badly that this has happened. You know, I do whatever I can to heal them individually or, you know, on a whole. But I certainly don't deny anything that happened to them.
This year, Gardner prompted the Bishop of Gaylord to send a letter to the Little Traverse Bay Band to issue the first apology from the church for what happened at Holy Childhood. Gardner is now leading healing circles. It's a way for people to openly share their thoughts and feelings about what happened at the boarding school. Former Holy Childhood student Delita Gasco-Smith is also helping lead these healing circles.
This letter from the church and them reaching out is a very big step. I mean, it's just like we're going full circle and they want to be part of the healing process, you know. So that's a good thing.
But she says the boarding schools played a huge role in the loss of Anishinaabemowin. And when language is lost, so is the connection to the remaining ceremonies and traditions of the Anishinaabeg.
When you lose that language, you lose your culture completely, because it's those songs, it's those prayers and everything that we do in our language that connect us, not just with each other and with our community, but also with everything around us.
Tomorrow we'll hear what tribes in Michigan are doing to bring the language back. With Michigan Radio News, I'm Emily Fox.